Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Father, we thank you and we praise you today for another opportunity to speak your word. I thank you that you will speak through my mouth, think through my mind, and let this message of the kingdom of God go around the world and enlighten and allow your people to feel your heartbeat, to think your thoughts, and may every believer rise up and become the light of the world and the salt of the earth that you intended for us to be, in Jesus' name. Welcome to church today. Welcome to the message of the kingdom of God. I'm Dr. Faye. For those of you who are joining us for the first time and hearing this voice, I want you to know that we are here to encourage, inspire, to reprove, exhort, and encourage you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that your life may be transformed. Because as experientially, I can say to you that the only real answers are in Jesus Christ. Your only peace is found in Jesus Christ. You can only take so many pills from a bottle. You can only do so much at the gym. You can only have so many relationships. But the only real peace will be found in Jesus Christ. This series of messages is brought to you by the Bible, but from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We began this journey a few weeks ago teaching about the bridging the gap, if I may say so, bridging the gap between government and God, between the church and the state, and giving you another look at what the way things really are, not the way they've been presented to be. You have to get quiet long enough to hear the voice of God. When you're so busy, you think that you're hearing him, and you really just learn to hear what you want to. I know, I've been there. So in learning to get quiet and still before God, I've come to a place that I know that the Bible really is the inspired word of God. And it teaches us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And 2 Chronicles 7, which is our go-to scripture for this series of teachings, it reads, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Solomon had just taken the reins from his father David. Well, it had been several years, because it took him 7 years to build the temple and 7 years to build the king's palace. His father was David the king, God's anointed man, the apple of God's eye, the leader of the nation. And God had anointed him to wage and win many wars. David had it in his heart as the king of the nation of Israel to build God a house. But God said, "David, I know it's in your heart, but that's not your destiny. That's not my plan for your life. Your son will build me a house." You see, David was a man of blood, and Solomon would be the king of peace. He would bring peace to the nation, and he would be a man that would be an intercessor for the people. He would be attentive to the ear of God, and it will be manifested in his everyday leadership abilities. His authority would come from the Spirit of the living God and not from external sources. So when he had made an end of praying after the house was finished, and that was in chapter 6, the fire of God came from heaven and it consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. In those days, men would bring sacrifices to God to make an atonement for the sins of the people and for their own sins. And if God accepted the sacrifice, the fire would consume that sacrifice, letting them know that God accepted it. And in verse 2 of chapter 7, we're reading from 2 Chronicles, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Now, here he is, a leader, and we talked to you about what happens when America prays, what happens when leaders pray. Go back and listen to those teachings. When this leader prayed, earnestly prayed and sought God, the power and presence of God was so strong that it filled the house of the Lord, that the priests could not enter into that place because it was so strong. And if you've ever been in the presence of God, if you ever felt the anointing of God, you know that there's a shift, there's a change. You can experience him from the inside out. That's not your flesh, darlings. That's the Holy Spirit. And when all of the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. I believe I would have too. Well, I would have done just that, and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." How is that for a nation acknowledging the presence of God? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The mercy of God says, "You're guilty, but I am going to plead your case. I will respond to you as though you are innocent. I'm going to look over what you did because you've turned your heart toward me," which means you have repented, you've turned your heart toward me, and I have seen you through the eyes of the sacrifice. I've seen you through the eyes of the blood. So it wasn't just the king, the leader of the nation that bowed before God. It was all the priests. It was those that represented the temple of God and all of the people who began to worship and began to praise the Lord. Verse 4 reads, "Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God." What did they make a priority? They made God's house a priority. This is extremely significant. If we are ever going to turn a nation toward God, we must have leaders whose hearts have been turned toward God. Those leaders are leaders of 50s, leaders of hundreds, leaders of communities, leaders of districts, leaders of states, leaders of the country, to turn their hearts toward God. And when they do this, the people begin to follow that flow. The Bible says the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33, Jesus, in speaking to the people, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added." Whenever we turn our hearts to seek God, all things will be added. Now, we can say, and people will say, I have no control over what the legislators do. I don't have any control over what my city council does or what the mayor does. But that's not true. We have control as believers, as Holy Spirit-led beings on this planet, to speak a word in the Spirit that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to begin to pray the prayers of the kingdom of God. Praying the word of God will change a nation. You may think that your prayers don't matter, but they do. Your relationship with God matters. Individually, it matters. Because you will find, like Elijah had to find, you're not the only one who's not bowing your knee to Baal. Some of you Bible readers, you know that when Elijah was running for his life from Jezebel, he thought he was threatened by this woman. And he was running for his life, and he was praying to God, and he cried out to God, you know, I'm the only one who's not bowed to this foreign God. I'm the only one who's not bowed to Baal. And God said, no, you're not. I have 7,000 more who have not bowed. In this hour, God is looking for the 7,000 more who have not bowed to legalism, who have not bowed to the traditions of men, who have not bowed to all of the chaos and confusion and the disruption that's going on around the world and in our country, who are not bowing to the negativity and the toxicity of the media, who are saying, I choose to bow to God. I choose to serve him. I choose to trust him. I choose to worship him. I choose to make an offering of prayer and praise and worship and thanksgiving to the Almighty God. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. It may seem ridiculous, it may look strange, but do it. Trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Is it true or is it true? It's true. Verse 6, and the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood, the entire nation stood at attention when the leadership called prayer and worship and praise to our God. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. But there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Why? Because the people brought much sacrifice. They brought so much sacrifice that the altar, the brazen altar, was not able to hold it all, because the people had a heart toward God. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him. The nation followed the leader when the leader was following God. It's here in his book. The nation followed the leader when the leader was following God. A very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. They all followed the leader as he was following God. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him. And in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly in verse 9, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Imagine if leadership called 7 days of fasting and prayer for the nation. Yes, yes, and yes. Imagine. Oh, there would be criticism, judgments. Oh, the media would have a frenzy. But the believers who understand the presence and power of God, who understand the power of fasting and praying and study of the Word of God, would come into agreement and say, truly, this is a directive from the Lord. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away in their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. You see, when a people's heart turned toward God, God will give them everything they need. That would be a nation that would not lack anything. Yes. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. You're the leader of a people. You're the leader of a nation. You're the leader of a state. You're the leader of a city. You're the leader of a community. You're the leader of an organization. You're the leader of a ministry, of a church. You're the leader, whatever that may be, of a corporation that will turn your heart toward God. He will prosper that place. He will prosper the city. He will prosper the nation. What if City Hall became a meeting hall for prayer? What if everything stopped on Capitol Hill and everybody prayed with one voice? What if that we did what's on our currency? You hear this sound? That's the sound of a dollar bill. And on this dollar bill is the face of the first president of the United States of America. On the back, it reads, In God We Trust. Can we be a nation that we can get back to what that stands for? Can we?
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The sound of the dollar bill, sound of currency. Can't easily tear it. It's very, very strong. The ink, the material from which it is made, it is durable. It is durable. In God we trust. And I chose to use this one because I like the word that's written on here. It says O-N-E. O-N-E. One. 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 And I said, one. That reminds me of something Jesus said, that they may be one as we are one in St. John 17 in the prayer I like to call the Lord's Prayer, that they may be one as you and I are one, that we could understand the basic principles of trusting in God means to become one nation, one people, one voice, one with Him. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? That we could become in agreement with God and what His word has said. It's time for us, and for us as Americans, for we as Americans, for us as people, as human beings, to get back to being one with God, to get to being one with God, to develop that oneness relationship with Him so that we can truly trust Him. We can't have trust in anyone we don't spend time with, anyone we don't get to know. People think they know leaders just because they've seen them on television, and there's been quotes and campaigns and tweets or whatever about them. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. God knows. And what He does know is that He's crying for His people, wherever they may be and whoever they are, for a heart that's turned toward Him. He's not looking at your title. He's not looking at your credentials. He's looking at your heart to turn. As we continue to read here about Solomon, and for those of you who are just joining us, the Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and we're reading the story of a leader. As he finished his duties in building the house, he didn't do anything without turning to God. He wouldn't speak a word to the people without turning to God. He went to God first before he went to the people. You can't speak to a people until you have spoken to their God. Yes, because how will you know the directive and the direction? We read in verse 12 that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, that I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place for myself, for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, this is what God is saying. If my people, in verse 14, which many of you Christians, believers already know this, because it's a very popular scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Yes? Two things there. Humble, yeah. Realize that it's not your degrees. It's not your money. It's not your power. It's not even your office. Humility says, I surrender to the great one inside of me. I surrender to God. I know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. I'm not so such a much, as I heard somebody say. I'm not all that. It is God. Anything good in me, call it God. Yes. If it's my faith, it's His faith that He's given to me. So He says, if my people, conditional, if is a conditional word, because it says that something must happen in order for something else to happen. You follow? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, yes, pray, be in communion with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. If you're walking with God all day long, there's a constant communication. If you're riding down the road with a friend or with your husband, your wife, and you don't have a conversation, you would think, oh my God, they would think you're rude and you're being disrespectful. But yet all day long, we work, we play, we do what we do, but yet we're being rude to God. We're being disrespectful to God. And as a Christian, I can say, when you have him on the inside of you, living and dwelling inside of you, and then you don't have this conversation, this communication with him, can you not understand that grieves the heart of God, that grieves the Holy Spirit? He said, if my people, I'll get through this verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek, S-E-E-K, my face. Every time I see the word seek, see, I hear the word see. As we seek his face, we see his face. Yes, yes, and yes. That means his presence, as it did with Solomon and all the people, his presence manifests. You will see his hand moving. And his hand doesn't move to take away your peace. His hand moves and brings peace because he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, our peace. If there's no peace in it, I don't want to do it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If it's not easy, not light, not peaceful, I don't want any part of it. He said, and if they turn from their wicked ways, so if they humble themselves, if they pray, if they seek my face, if they turn from their wicked ways, their own way of doing things and being, yes, then, see the conditions here? Yes. Then it's a contract. It's a conditional contract. Then what I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. And then what happens next? I will heal their land. We want the nation to be healed. Really want the nation to be healed? Listen to me. Come here closely. Listen to me. It will not take place until we turn to God. There's not a law that can legislate this. There's no demands that anybody can put on you to forcibly force you to do this. There must be a willing heart. If we be willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. We will see a nation that's truly the land of the free and the home of the brave. We will see a people given to prayer in the marketplace. We will see a people whose hearts are so meshed in with the heart of God that they don't want to sin. Want to stop crying? Get prayers going in your community. Let your neighborhood watch be a neighborhood watchman on the wall in the spirit, where prayer meetings and people are huddled together around the nation and praying for the nation again. Oh, yeah, this is good preaching, good teaching. This is good word. When a nation turns toward God, God will turn toward that people. We can't blame any party. We can't blame any position or power of authority. We have to look in our own house, because love begins at home and spreads abroad. The word charity is used in the King James, but the word charity means love. That when we turn toward God and we begin to seek him with all of our heart, he will not say no to us. Yes, yes, and yes. We complain about the lack of law enforcement. We complain about the crime in our streets. But what if we use that energy, if conditional, what if we use that energy to humble ourselves and to pray and seek the face of God? Sin will stop. There have been revivals in history that have shut down bars, that have shut down crime-invested organizations. There have been revivals that have changed the course of history. And I say to you today, Americans and people around the world, wherever you are, if your heart turns toward God, just you, that one little you, that one little bitty, that one little bitty oh you, turn toward God. What would happen if you prayed? What would happen if you got in your closet? Yeah? Close your bedroom door and shut it off for the world. Shut off the cell phone. Shut off social media. Shut off the television. Put do not disturb on your front door. And said, go on to a meeting. Who are you meeting with? I've got a meeting with God. Do not disturb. Put busy on your cell phone. You have that option. You can put busy on your calendar. I don't disturb. Mm-hmm. I've got a meeting. Tell your family, I've got a meeting to go to. How long is that meeting? I don't know, but at least an hour. It's real important. I can't miss this appointment. It's an appointment with my Creator. Whew. Powerful, isn't it? Verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You see what happens when people turn? See what happens when leaders and people turn? When individuals turn? Not only for the nation, but for you as an individual, when we turn and start having this relationship with God, building this trust base, that we know that God is the only one who truly has our best interest at heart. People are transient, they come and go, but his loyalty is unmatched, eh? There's nobody that can be more faithful to you than God. There's nobody who will love you like God loves you. Nobody. And I know your husband loves you so much, and you love him, yeah. But nobody will love you like God loves you. You love your children love you. But nobody will love you like God loves you. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And you hold on to your children. Oh no, nobody's going to hurt my child. Nobody's going to come. But God loved you so much, loved us so much that he gave his child up so that he could get more children. He says, I've had my eyes on a people. That's what he says. My eyes are open. I've got my eyes on a people who are praying. I have my eyes on a people who are turning toward me. I have my eyes on a people who have humbled themselves. I have my eyes on a people who are calling on my name. What if you turned on your television or you turn on your smart TV and there I am on smart TV because I am on smart TV and you turn me there, turn on, and everybody on there, or you see the media, you see everybody on there is saying, turn toward God, turn toward God. The news media, you turn on your television in the news, is they're opening the news up with, let's pray. It's been a day out there in the world. It's time for prayer. I'm your anchor, Dr. Faye, and I've just called a prayer meeting. Well, what if the media turned to prayer? You say, oh, Dr. Faye, that'll never happen. Who were you to say? Who are you to say? We're talking God here. That's what I mean by building a relationship with God, and you'll find out that there is nothing impossible with God. Go study revivals by history, the history of revivals, just in our country and around the world, Wales and so many other places where the power of God hit a place and people couldn't do anything but praise him. The drunks had to stop drinking because they got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a new kind of intoxication that took over their lives as it did on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the power of God. God's eyes were on them. His ears were listening to their prayers. How would you like it for God to listen to your prayers? Because your heart, I don't mean these prayers that people pray for stuff and things, me, me, my, I, that kind, those kinds of prayers. God does care about our intimate needs. He really does, because he's our Father. But I mean, the prayers where you are just earnestly seeking him. Maybe you're praying for someone you love and care about. You want him to heal them because they've been suffering so. He said, I chose and I sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. For a house that's dedicated to God, he is saying my name is there. Sure enough, his name is Jehovah. He's the Lord God Almighty. And he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. And he is working a work on our behalf, even when we feel that all hell is breaking loose. And it appears on the screen before you, the television screen, or that social media screen before you, that all hell is breaking loose. Things are messed up. Oh, what are we going to do now? The accusations are flying across the aisle. The finger pointing. Who's lying? Who's telling the truth? I say, God be true. God be true. Trust his word. Well, shouldn't we care? He's told me to take no thought for my life. Yeah, to cast my cares upon him because he cares for me. I know that when your heart turns toward him, while you're busy communing with God, God begins to take care of everything else that concerns your life. He will heal the land. He'll heal your zip code. He'll heal the areas that are concerning you in your state. He'll heal what's on the ballot, what's not on the ballot. He will heal what's going on in your church, the division in your communities and in your home. God will heal your life. He's the only one that can heal your life. It's not a television show. It's a way of life. God is the only one that can heal your life. Bring deliverance to the captives. He will set your soul free when you turn your heart toward him. Is it true or is it true? And it is true because the Bible says so. In God we trust. This one, becoming one of the same mind. Oh, people will never do that. Oh, I hear the naysayers. I hear it. This is airy fairy. This is fluffy. Well, that's because you don't have a praying life. And that's not a criticism. That's just saying. When you have a relationship with God, you will understand these things. When you open your Bible, I said this to a people the other day. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and all of the great artists in our history could not have painted a more beautiful picture than this, an open Bible and a bowed head in prayer to God. That is art at its best. Yes, yes, and yes. Of all the things that you could ever do in life, nothing is more important than your relationship with the Lord. And you may not see it today, but my friend, let me tell you, there will come a moment in your life that you will understand the value of the words that I'm speaking today. And I'd rather, and God would rather you hear me today than for it to be at your last breath. You know? God promised Israel and David's heirs. He said, I'm going to establish your throne. I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted, it promised. I have a contract with David. Even though David had died, Solomon was in authority, God was keeping the promise that he had made with Solomon's predecessor, his father David. He said, there will not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Well, I will make sure that there's an anointing, that there's a presence over Israel, over this nation, if you stay focused on me. I ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you that are in America. Do you think maybe this statement, this sentence on the back of this $1 bill, "In God We Trust," do you think maybe we can get back to that? Do you think for a moment that we truly could become one nation under God, indivisible? Do you think that maybe we could truly be united? Yes. Then the only way we can is through God. Yeah. There is no other way. There is no other way. We can hold hands, but it will be in the spirit. It will not be in the flesh. It will be in harmony because God is truly our leader. When a nation recognizes God as the head of state, yeah? When you recognize God as the head of your life, Jesus as the Lord of your life, things began to change in your life. There are far too many millions of people who will come to bat and say, "Yes, indeed, it's true. I have testimony." Lives have been radically changed because of what Jesus did on that cross. When we look at history and we say, yes, I know our currency says "In God We Trust," but there's this but. We don't need him in our schools, and we don't need people to pray. But thank God we see the turning, that there's a push to turn that around. And oh, how grateful we are that somebody, yeah, is praying for the turn. No one is making these decisions independently. There's always a force behind the turn when things are turning toward God. To put it back, as one little boy said, "God never left school for me because I pray every time before I take my test in math. I have to pray." The history of "In God We Trust," the national anthem that has caused so much debate. We fight over things and use our energy over things that is so exhausting because one side can't agree with the other side. Someone asked me, "Well, Dr. Fay, where do you stand?" I said, "I stand on the side of righteousness. I stand wherever God stands." "Well, what is your opinion?" I say to you, does that really matter? What matters is what is God saying. If we keep it as simple as that, we'll find out that there will be some changes in our own personal lives that we can unplug from toxicity ourselves and be so tuned in to what the Spirit of God says. The U.S. Department of Treasury states the motto "In God We Trust" was placed on the United States coins largely because of the increased religious sentiment existing during the Civil War. The Secretary of State at that time was Salmon P. Chase, and he had received so many appeals from devout Christians, listen to that, from this country, that were urging the United States to recognize God, to recognize God on the United States coins. So in 1861, a letter was written. It said, "Dear Sir, No nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. You will cause a device to be prepared without unnecessary delay, with a motto expressing in the fewest and the tersest words possible this national recognition. It was found that the Act of Congress dated January 18, 1837, prescribed the mottos and devices that should be placed upon the coins of the United States. Yes, this is from a minister of the gospel, Reverend M.R. Watkinson, from Ridleyville, Pennsylvania. And as a result of this letter, Secretary Chase instructed James Pollock, director of the Mint at Philadelphia, to prepare the motto. Yeah. He suggested our trust in is in God was one of the options. Our God in our country was the second. God in our country, God our trust. Chase picked in God we trust to be used on some of the government's coins. And the first in God we trust appeared on our coins was in 1864, and it was on the 2-cent coin. And it was later in and around 1956 that a law was passed that it would be on our currency. Yeah. And in 1957, it appeared for the first time, in God we trust. Because devout people, people who had a relationship with God, made an appeal. And it was heard and responded to. And this letter that was written to the Secretary of Treasury by Reverend Watkinson. And Reverend Watkinson wrote to Mr. Pollock. And it was found that the Act of Congress dated 1837 prescribed it, and that it should be placed, but it was in 1860s before we saw it. 1864 exact. And in 1957. So every day we handle dollar bills, we handle currency, we handle our cash without even thinking whose face is even on them anymore. Really, how many people even know whose face is on what? Whose picture? How many people ever stop to study it? That our very transactions say, in God we trust. So Dr. Fade, why is all of this so important? It's important to you. It's important to the nation. It's important to your family that we all get back to God and keeping our eyes on him and building a relationship and trust in him. In God we trust is our foundation. And although there's been argument after argument over whether or not this nation is truly a Christian nation, I say it is. If for no other reason, I'm here. You're here. This makes it a Christian nation, because if there's one, then God will hear the cry of one. You are significant, and you have the power resident within you as a child of God to speak words into the atmosphere, to shift things in your environment. And we have to make a decision where we will align ourselves. When Israel was in the wilderness, and Moses had come from the presence of the Lord, and the people had corrupted themselves. God told Moses, he said, go down, for your people, God, when they were corrupt, God gave them to Moses. He said, your people, Moses, have corrupted themselves. And Moses went down and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come up hither. And those people that had rebelled and murmured and complained, they never saw the promised land. They never made it to the land of dreams. They never made it to what they said they wanted to happen. They never achieved destiny and purpose because they spent their time doing nothing else but in negative media. Now, that's their media of the day. The gossips of the desert. Chatter among each other. Destroying the dream inside of each other, destroying hope inside of each other until they ultimately were destroyed. Self-inflicted destruction because they did not keep their eyes on the Lord. It's important that we do not self-destruct, that we do not have, this destructive force at work. There are so many words that come to mind. And I want to say what you can receive. Yeah. We don't want to devour each other so that we have nothing. Don't you know the enemies of our camp? The enemies against our nation want to see us at war with each other. And why are we giving them what they want? When we turn toward God, we increase our strength. We increase our worth. We increase our power and our presence around the world when we turn toward God. Psalms 118 and 8 says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. If you're disappointed in leadership, that's because your eyes are in the wrong place. Psalms 40 and 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. When we praise him, others will be brought up as they were when Solomon began to pray and his eyes were on the Lord. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works, Psalm 73 and 28. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. God becomes our security. And Psalms 91, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Great is a people who trust in the Lord. The Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Our nation has been in mourning for much too long. And it's time for the righteous, those who are born again. You're righteous whether you feel right or not. You're righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He made us righteous. And because of his righteousness, and we trust in him, we trust in the righteousness that's within us, and we please God, his blessings will be upon our house. He heals our land. Everything that we touch is part of our land. Your business, your ministry, your corporations, whatever it is, your cities, your states, your government, your nation is an extension of who you are. And he's healing that land. We cannot sit back any longer and say that it's those people, it's them, it's the blacks, it's the whites, it's the blues, it's the reds. Yeah, we cannot point fingers because those are our brothers and those are our sisters, and no man can live of himself or die of himself. Everybody needs somebody. and we need each other. We're in this together, like it or not. Yes, there will always be hate in the world. There will always be sin in the world, because Jesus said in St. John 10:10, the thief come not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil is here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We just don't want to have him. We don't want to be his allies. We want to be on the side of righteousness. No matter who's in the White House, or who's your governor, or who's your mayor, or who's in the Senate or the House, or who's the justice, we want to be on the Lord's side. Don't feel like you're forced to have an opinion out there. Don't feel like you've got to have a say-so out there. Your say-so comes from God. And he'll teach you how to vote and who to vote for. He'll teach you how to speak. He'll teach you what to say and where to go. He knows how to take care of his own. He's a father. And he wants to be your father. And if you've not made him, made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, this is an excellent opportunity to do so. If you're upset and stressed out and anxious over the news, stop watching it. And turn to something that's going to give you peace. I stay in my lane, and my lane is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever he wants me to say, that's what I want to say. And whatever he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. And I'm not going to give up, cave in, and quit. And I'm not going to shy away from it or walk on eggshells. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached, because it's the saving power for the entire world. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you walk with God at one point. Maybe you haven't been praying the way you should. Today is the day to turn. It's easy. Just turn. He doesn't make it difficult. It's easy. Just turn. Just ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Fill me to the full, to the overflow. And he'll do just that. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for your prayers for me and for this network. Thank you for sharing across social media. You are God's evangelist for this broadcast. You are so important to us. Don't forget to check out our show page at americaoutloud.com/Dr. Faye. And write us at support@drfaye.com. Go visit us at theglobalchurchlive.com as well, and join us every Wednesday morning for our teaching and ministry time and Wake Up and Pray. And you can find that information right here on americaoutloud.com/Dr. Faye, so that you can call in at 6:30 a.m. Central Time every Wednesday morning. Until next time, this is Dr. Faye, and you've been listening to Intentional.